2005.
And the spirit, it was supposed to be one of Chavis Alvavas, but I just share with you my experience of tonight, is I learned a lesson in the mitzvah aboliyot al-tachamitzena. So I was on a remote phone call on the cell phone. I was by the bus stop, and then the bus came. So I didn't get on the bus because I was on the middle of an important phone call. So I didn't get on the bus. I said, I'll catch the next bus. They come every 15 minutes, 7 o'clock. I said, I'll catch at 7:15. Lo, no ra. But it was no ra. Because there was no 7:15, and there was no 7:30, and there was no 7:45. And the bus finally showed up at 8 o'clock, and it had to be at 20 to knock to 10. I don't know, something happened, some accident. So they closed the kliyush, I don't know. I happened to reach Eger, which is pretty amazing in itself. And they said the taco. But so I learned from that the taco case of mitzvah, you're not supposed to do that. It was a weird feeling, like watching the 4:17 go by and not getting on it. I remember I was feeling funny. Like, wait, but I said, I know that's a limud. I think the limud is taken, that din of, like, you're not supposed to do that. Who says there'll be a next bus? And indeed, that's what occurred. I don't know what happened to that bus. It could be that bus also got stuck and didn't get here till who knows when. But I think it's a true din. That's the din. You're not supposed to do that. If that comes, you have to chop around. You never know what it'll be. That's the trend. You don't know what it'll be in the future. You don't know what will happen. So that's taka. This is an application of that din. I consider it a mitzvah come here, still. Okay.
Rabbi, the flip side of that is, there are many stories of people who were supposed to be on one flight or were supposed to be on one and leave at a certain time and they left at a later time.
But this was deliberate. This was deliberate. They were, in those stories, what always happened is that they were unavoidably detained.
Yeah.
Here it was deliberate. I mean, I deliberately did not go on the bus. I watched it stop, take passengers, and drive off. So that was a deliberate. That's the difference. Okay. Kuf Pei Zion in Shariyut HaMaisa Perikei, that's Kuf Pei Zion, the second line. So, the Sahara will, there's really a dichotomy in nature, in the Bria, in the world. Ari, I'm afraid you have to explain to someone too. There's really a dichotomy in nature that, in case, if anybody was with us in Shaar Avodas Hashem, in Shaar Avodas Elokim Perakhes, the Chavis Alvavas dealt with the philosophical issue of, not of Yediyah and Mechira. That's a separate issue. That Yediyah Hashem raises problems about Bechira is one issue. But there's another issue, question about just Hashem's Yediyah. Plain and question. No, not Hashem's Yediyah, I'm sorry. It's Yediyah and Bechira is one issue. Hashem knows that contradict the fact that we're free to choose. But then there's the basic philosophical issue that Hashem causes everything. Hashem is the seeker for everything. Hashem makes everything happen. Does he make good and evil happen? That's a standing question in itself. Does Hashem allow a person's free will? Or, as is mashma in many places in the Tanakh and the like, that everything is from Hashem. Like Paro, And how could it not be that way? Hashem might relinquish the running of the world, and let's say Hashem wants something to happen. So how can he leave it up to the vagaries of Bechira? If something's supposed to happen, so like it won't happen if the person's bochur differently. So that's a basic. And in Perek Shmini of the Shara Avodas Elokim, that was dealt with. And he brought down different shittas, different philosophical shittas, about what the resolution to that issue is. So here he touches upon it. So he dealt with it at length. That's in the eighth parak of Shara Avodas Elokim. Actually, in Shara Bitachon, he touches upon it, and he really resolves it. He resolves it just in passing, almost. He resolves it, and we remark when we learn Shara Avodas Elokim, it's very almost strange that in the eighth parak of Shara Avodas Elokim, he doesn't even mention the resolution that he gives in passing, almost as an afterthought in passing, in Shara Bitachon, which is strange. He doesn't say it. Okay, here he also talks about it, but he talks about it as an enticement of the Yitzhahara, and that the Yitzhahara will point out and try to not convince you, will try to make you live as if there's determinism, when that you can determine your own fate when it comes to Olam Hazeh, that you're the master of your fate, and he brings down even psukim to that effect. That's at the end of Kuf Pei Vav, and the beginning of Kuf Pei Zayin. We didn't understand the last pasuk. I still don't. I didn't see anybody talking about it. The pasuk on the first line of Kuf Pei Zayin is obviously talking about Schar Ba'onesh for doing Averis. So that's, I don't know. I don't understand how the Chodesh Halvavos understood that pasuk. That's certainly the context. So that's what he does. All right, Mishana Lachas Artinus. That's on the second line of that Kuf Pei Zayin. He flips around. Parmen Behechter Chubin Zera. Sometimes he talks about Hashem's omnipotence. Hashem is the Geizig Zeros. Anochi Hashem also called to call the pasuk in Yishayahu that he quoted before. That Hashem determines everything that's going to be. And so that's when it comes to good and evil. Hashem is the determinant of good and evil. And therefore, you can't fight. Hashem wants something to happen. Hashem wants the world to, history to go a certain way. Or as we explained it, Hashem wants put me in a situation where I'm lazy. Hashem made me the way I am. I'm just a shy person, that's all. I'm shy. Therefore I cannot speak up against evil. You want me to be moche? I can't, I'm shy. That's how Hashem made me. I mean, in one form or another, we've heard such remarks, and we've made such remarks countless times. And that's, on a subtle level, that's the Yitzhahara talking, that's what Chodesh Halvavos is talking about. So sometimes he'll do that. Upam b'tzadik u'b'bechira. But when it comes to earning your check and earning your salary and getting a job and holding a job and making extra money, so he'll talk about bechira and free will, and it's up to you, and the early bird gets the worm, and the lazy person doesn't get anywhere in life, and he'll bring down psukim to that effect. Whatever fits the situation, but the other way, in order to weaken you and your avodas hashem. So we said last week, until we ended up last week really, that the truth is this contradiction exists. It does exist. It's horror freck good. And in fact, the maskana is, and this is the way Chodesh Halvavos resolved it in Shara Avodas Elokim, is that if you look at Torah Ches, Shara Avodas Elokim, the way the Chodesh Halvavos ultimately decides is the best resolution of this inyan, is to just, like, shut your eyes, so to speak, and just when it comes to Schar Ba'onesh, when it comes to spiritual matters. Well, you know that the Schar Ba'onesh, I mean, you believe, right? So you have to act as if Hashem is not in charge. You have to be an upikaris, so to speak. So you have to say, no, it's up to me. Hashem is not in charge here, I'm in charge. Because of Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Me'Yirei Shemayim, he quotes that here, and he says it there also. And that, so you have to just act as if there's no Hashem, so to speak. And when it comes to the physical world, and material matters, and parnasa, and health, and the like, then you have to realize that Hashem is in charge. So you have to apply the contradiction, the stira, the right way. How do you know it's the right way? Because the right way makes sense, that's what I'm saying. What the Yetzirah is saying has no logic to it. There's no logic to the Yetzirah's way of making you think. This way there's a logic. The logic is that we don't understand it. It's very hard to... We don't understand it. It's hard to be yoreh to the depth of what actually occurs. Because Hashem withdrew, and this is already the philosophical angle, that the Chodesh HaLvavos' maskana is that it's best just not to deal with it. Chodesh HaLvavos' maskana is that it's just best not to deal with it. That's what he says in the end of Sharabat, yes. Just don't deal with it. When it comes to these matters, just act this way. When it comes to these matters, act that way. Don't deal with, what does he mean, don't deal with? Don't deal with, like you say, like what does Hashem exactly do? And tackle what happens if Hashem wants something to happen. Like, can I change history by being bocher? Like, what's going to be with the larger picture? So, he really ends up saying in the Shabbat of Elohim, don't deal with it. Like, don't go there. Sort of what the Rambam says by Yediya and the Bechira, which is a different philosophical question, where the Rambam says, like, don't go there. So that's what the Chavis HaLvavos. The Rambam, for example, when it comes to this question, doesn't really deal with these questions. But the Chavis HaLvavos says, don't think about it. Don't try to resolve it. It's beyond us really to understand exactly what goes on. Like, is it a chess game? So as soon as you make a bechira, then Hashem decides, he quickly rearranges the board and decides how history should flow or what should happen after you've made your choice. That's terrible. That is certainly not the way it is. And that certainly goes against the grain of the nature of Hashem. Anyway, don't deal. But there's a logic to it. But there's a logic to saying, when it comes to this, I'll act this way, and when it comes to that, I'll act that way. And the logic is Schar Ba'onesh. That's really what he emphasizes in Schar Ba'onesh Elokim. And the truth is there a Rambam up here? Yedi and Bechir is a different question. This is the question, does Hashem determine what a person is going to do? Hashem determines everything in the world, right? And there's a pasuk, Anochi Hashem Oseh Kol, and if you look in different Sukkim, Hashem is directing his, I need Sefer Hamada. It's not up here.
When you say determine,
causes it to happen. So, does he cause, like, what happens? What happens? He stands back. It doesn't make sense, really. That's not Hashem. Hashem's nature doesn't allow that, really. So, that's a separate question. So the Chavis HaLvavos in Shara Kaperikas, he really just says, make do it. And don't deal with it. It's good. And he even goes on to be Myrick. In Perek Ches, he says, you know, there's many things we don't understand. And he gives a few examples from the physical world. Because Avodas lived in the middle, like in the 11th century. He gives examples of things that, you know, we don't understand.
We don't understand how this works, we don't understand how that works.
There's another thing we don't understand. But there's a logic to it. That's my point. Thank you very much, my son.
Thank you.
There's a logic to it, and the logic, he says, and the Rambam also talks like that in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Chamishi. The logic is based on the fact that we know this Kai Vaomer. So we don't know how, we don't know the mechanics, and it's kind of beyond our comprehension exactly what the mechanics are. But since the Torah says that our actions have consequences, and we are given Schar Va'onesh, and Schar Va'onesh would not make sense if it would be Hashem determining what should happen. And that's really, the Rambam spends an entire two prakim in Hilchos Teshuva going through this philosophical issue only. Perikei and Vav and Hilchos Teshuva talk about this question. Does Hashem determine everything in the world, and therefore he determines your actions too? And this is discussed at length in the Rambam, in Perikei and Vav and Hilchos Teshuva. And the Rambam ends up emphasizing what the Chavit Olavus emphasizes, just that this, we know this Schar Va'onesh, so we just know that. So the Chavit Olavus says that you have to act as if Hashem knows what you know, and don't bother thinking about it. The Rambam makes a more declaratory statement: yes, you have Bechira, and Hashem doesn't mix. Hashem doesn't mix it. And he doesn't get into the philosophical angle of, but then what happens if, like, Hashem wants something to happen? And if you, you know, can you marry in that Basharta? Is a question every person, like, you know, everybody asks that question. You know, I said, that girl said no to me, I said no to that girl. Could you end up saying no to the one that's Basharta? That's a question. The Rambam just says it more definitively. That's how Baba says, don't think about it too much. You're not going to understand it. The Rambam just says it like matter-of-factly. Hashem doesn't mix in to Bechira. I don't know enough for now. The point is the Schar Va'onesh angle. That's all. That's what the Rambam and the Chavis HaVavis both stress. We know the Schar Va'onesh, and that's the Omud HaTorah, that's the Omud of life, and therefore Al Karchach Hashem doesn't mix in. Or the Chavis HaVavis would say, and therefore you have to act as if Hashem doesn't mix in, because we know the Schar Va'onesh. So just live like that and forget about it. Don't think about it. You know what you should think about it? When it comes to parnasa and health and children and relationships and everything that goes on in life, besides good and evil, so then that's when you should think about how Hashem determines all that. The Rambam, in fact, I've said many, many times, I've spoken it out, the Rambam says that's the logic of tshuva. The logic of tshuva is that you always have bechira, so even after you do evil, you have bechira. So Hashem had it, so to speak, leave open the door, even after you've sinned. On rare occasions, the Rambam says, and this is a famous Rambam, on rare occasions, the evil doer has done such evil that Hashem punishes him by taking away his bechira. That's a punishment. And that's what happened with Paro, and that's what happened with Sichel. He goes through a whole list of people that happened to. That their punishment was that their bechira was taken away. But otherwise, tshuva is supremely logical and almost mukhra. According to the Rambam, it's like tshuva is not even a chiddush. It's Hashem had to give that ability that no matter what you've done, no matter what your past is, but you still have bechira. So you can always come back. Anyway, so the Chavis HaVavis, that's what I believe is the key to the Chavis HaVavis, in that what the Yetzirah says, that when it comes to this, look at it this way, and when it comes to that, he tells you to look at it the other way. So that you can reject because there's no logic to it. Hashem, the way we ought to live, even though it really just sets up the same anomaly in reverse, but at least there's a logic to it. That's what the Chavis HaVavis says in Avodas HaLakim, and here. He says, But if you just keep in front of you, Maimah HaRishonim, keep in mind what the Chazal have told us, HaKol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyir HaShemayim, Os Tinan Binyani Hados Minig Nishin Is Barer Lo, you'll act as someone who has clarified, even Ma'asov, Yehei Haskar V'Ha'Onish. Haskar V'Ha'Onish. That's the Rambam in Perakei Halacha Gimel. But that's the bottom line. V'Char T'V'Chayim. So that's it. That's Haskar V'Ha'Onish. That's why Haskar V'Ha'Onish is very important. Haskar V'Ha'Onish is not just a set of rules, but it's a key principle in Jewishness. It's a key principle in the world. It's very important. That's the second parish. It's not just setting up, if you get a gold star or if you get an X by your name. And you better believe it, because or else you're going to have a lot of X's. It's a very fundamental belief that really determines and tells us that there's Bechira. And that keeps us going with Bechira. That sets up Bechira for us. Because or else Schar V'Onesh wouldn't be Shaykh. So Schar V'Onesh really is almost the proof of Bechira. And that's what life is all about. That's why the second parasha of Kriyat Shema is Schar V'Onesh. It's like a very key principle. It's not a key principle because Hashem wants to keep us honest. So we'll know that we're going to get a patch if we're bad, and we'll get a kiss if we're good. It's a key principle because it keeps us on the Bechira path. If you keep Schar V'Onesh B'Fanecha, as the Chavit HaLovah says, if you keep it in front of you as a clarity, with a clarity that it exists, and you say every day in Shema, as part of Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs, which is the second parasha, Schar V'Onesh, if you're good, Rosati Gishmecha, right? You have good, right? You have Geshem, and the Oretz, and V'Chalto V'Sachoto, right? That's Shenkin, and then if not, the Lord Yamator, Lo Sutenis Shabbat, Babaka Tanahira. Okay, so that's it. Kimoshomer Achacham and Eod, Kipoalod and Ishamamamot. That's it. That's the principle we have to remember. And so Hashem runs everything. Hashem determines everything. That's when it comes to your health, and your parnosah, and everything else. When you go Schar V'Onesh, anything that touches on Schar V'Onesh is Bechira. So that's how you have to realize it. And that's the polar opposite of the way the Yitzhak talks. When it comes to Ruchnius different things, he says, oh, that's the way I am. That's the way it's supposed to happen. What can you do? But he convinces you that it's your actions that bears fruit. And I'm very struck. I'm old enough. I always say that, but it's true. I'm old enough. You look at the no smoking campaign as it's a very good thing. Of course people shouldn't smoke. It's very dangerous to smoke. And it's very good to jog. And it's very good to be up in your health and cardiovascular. And it is. But I am old enough to realize that there's an element and an undertone of almost religious zeal. You might not know what I'm talking about, but maybe you do, and I know it's true. There's like a religious zeal there, especially in the anti-smoking campaign. It's like, and there's such a almost obsession with health and with jogging and with being fit. Maybe not so much by our own, even if they do it, but by the goyim, it's like a religion. They don't believe in God anymore, but this has become their religion. If you notice sociological trends, and I was born in the 50s, so I became like aware of things in the 60s. Kennedy's assassination, the Beatles, I always talk about them.
and then the 70s and the 80s, and it became like an obsession by Hashem, and a zeal for health and jogging and being fit. And it didn't come from a good source. It came from a source that we could be, that you can determine. It's like the Chavis Olavis is talking about. I can determine if I'm going to be healthy. It's up to me. I know, of course, it's like everything else. Of course, you can't do things that are injurious to your health, and you have to do things healthy. But there was definitely Ar Hayom. I mean, it started in the 80s, I think. There's an element of a crazy zeal with smoking. You see it even more with anti-smoking legislation. And then there's one acid, whatever, the McDonald's, that they start getting on their back for certain kinds of oils, polysaturated, polyunsaturated. It doesn't come from a good place. It comes from a place which says that they don't believe in Hashem, all these people. The people that lead these movements are very secular. You should notice that they're always extremely secular. The people that are, and this is their religion, because they hold a person, it's the same as with Parnassa. They just do it in the field of health. That's all. And they can determine that they're going to be healthy. It's in their hands. And that's why they do it with a fervor and with a missionary zeal. So if you think that you can't determine how healthy you'll be, it's like all hishtadlios, it's like parnasa. You can't do things that are dangerous. You have to make sure you don't cross over the line into dangerous behavior. Smoking is kind of dangerous, but some zeal there that's not coming from a good place. It's kind of dangerous, and they shouldn't do it. And of course, with health and eating habits and being fit, you should, of course. It's like tzinim u'pachim, kolam u'toisus and tzubus. The Rishon is to determine to what point is what we call hishtadlus, which means Hashem wants us to act a certain way, and after what point it becomes, I'm going to live to a ripe old age because I'm very fit and I do everything right. I eat the right foods and I jog every day and I don't smoke. It's good to get down your insurance rates, I'll admit that. If you're not smoking, it makes a big difference. But there's something there that's not the way a believing Jew should feel. When you pass the line of good health, I hope everybody here is mature enough to know that I'm not advocating doing unhealthy things. I'm sorry. It's dangerous. It's a dangerous thing. It's like crossing the street without looking if cars are coming. They do write with the same passion. So it's very good. You should be there. So what is your question? I'm talking about the anti-smoking movement. You're from New York?
Yes.
They weren't coming because it's also... They weren't coming because it's also... Let's finish the paragraph. But Tinek, you know, they're all on when it comes to these things, the health, the finance, and the like. Menek Mishan is viral world. He most was called to the world, so the Shinui Matzod of the Gzeres Hashem Yisrael. This type of belongs to Hashem. Boz Yivtach Ola Bukulam. When it comes to these matters, you'll develop your bitachon. Because Hashem is determining what will be. So you'll develop your bitachon. The insert Atzmo Behenei Lov. And you won't think, you won't have the mindset of someone that can determine how healthy he'll be and how rich he'll be. but you'll have the mindset of a person that relies on Hashem. Moshe Amar Hashlecha Hashem Yehoshua. That'll be your mindset when it comes to these matters. Okay.